Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Well, recently on a quiet day at the Lenox Library, Jim Bode from Tanglewood, a big-time star, walked in and offered to do a fundraiser. Surprised but delighted, the library signed him up, and the event takes place next Friday night.
Star of stage, screen, and television, John Davidson will provide music and laughter as he sings a selection of American folk, country, and pop favorites at the Lenox Library on August 8th at 7 p.m.
Now a resident of Lenox, Davidson was the TV host of Hollywood Squares and That's Incredible, a frequent guest host on The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. Most recently, he performed as the Wizard on the national tour of the Broadway phenomenon Wicked. It's a great pleasure to welcome John Davidson to the Roundtable.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Alan. Nice to be here.
It is wonderful to have you here. I have to say, when we got the press release that you just kind of walked in and said, hey, let's put on a show. And I thought, well, I didn't know John Davidson lived in the region, and it's very cool to have you here.
Well, I've been very low-key about it. I live literally two football fields. I live three blocks away from downtown Lenox. I just love this little New England town and all the culture that it encompasses. And I wanted to find a place to investigate singing with my guitar and the type of music that I want to do now. I'm a storyteller. I'm not a song stylist. And I'm not doing anything from Wicked or Oklahoma or Carousel or any other Broadway piece. It's what you said. It's stories that with a lot of jokes in between, but I do a whole segment on love. What is love? What is love between any other person? What is love between man and woman? What is love between man and man? I do a section on being a preacher's kid. Growing up, I was a preacher's kid, and now I'm certainly an agnostic and certainly non-religious, and I have a song about an atheist. The atheist in the woods. So it's a type of material that when I played Las Vegas, I probably wouldn't use. It's one of the reasons I love this area is this New England sensibility, is this progressiveness of this area, the artsiness, the curiosity. Am I talking too much?
No.
The more you talk, the less we have to talk.
Yeah, that's right. No, we love hearing. We ask a question, and you're answering.
Yes.
That's the way that goes.
I grew up in West Bridgewater, outside of Brockton, and had a New England accent until I was 13, and I sounded like Jay Leno until then. And then I moved to White Plains.
Thank God that changed.
Yeah, I moved to
Was that a shot?
Yeah, kind of a shot. Yeah,
New York, and changed my accent because the girls made fun of it in seventh grade, but. I'm back here in the state that I grew up in, but I'm close to New York. I like the feeling that New Yorkers, I love the New Yorkers that are here, the New York spirit, the New York excitement, but it's, of course, very laid back. And I like to say that the New Yorkers who like to whine and complain go to Florida. The New Yorkers who are curious about things and want to just investigate life, talking about older people over 50, come to the Berkshires.
Don't you know?
The Berkshires. And, of course, we have Great Barrington and Stockbridge and Williamstown and Pittsfield and Lenox. So I like the fact that I'm old and I'm in my 70s. So Lenox is just, I hope this is where I'll wind up for the rest of my life.
I always admired you as a host, because you just seemed unflappable. There was a comfort with you that seemed unrivaled. Whether it was doing Hollywood Squares or when you were hosting the Tonight Show, is that the kind of guy you are, or are you screaming on the inside?
I can usually talk my way out of things, but I'm usually when I'm doing a show. I'm just trying to save my ass.
Well, there you go.
I'm just trying to be. I'm trying to find out what is really me. I've done a lot of phony things.
For example,
I mean, when people say just be yourself, oh my goodness. I am 100 different things. Joe Donahue is 100 different things. So you got to choose which parts of yourself. Well, right now I'm into these story songs, investigating life, and with great lyrics. That I'm sure I sing. I still sing. I think I sing now better than I've ever sung, because I like singing. Well, I like the feeling on the front of my face, but I'm trying to still figure out what this is all about. What a mystery life is, and what a challenge. And if you think you got it figured out, you don't.
So I have an intellectual question following that, if you don't mind. What was Johnny Carson really like?
An amazing man in that, such a gentleman, treated people so well. He was a very shy man. I guess you've heard that about him. He started as a magician, which says a lot. I think out in the schoolyard, he probably attracted girls by saying, "Hey, you ever see this? You know, you're trying to make a card disappear." Very shy man. And I don't think Ed McMahon knew Johnny Carson very well.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how did you get chosen for that prestigious gig? You're the number one host, I think, co-host.
Yeah. I hosted it more than any other singer during those days. They usually used a comedian, so I would sing that opening thing rather than do jokes. I think it was a little backdoored, because I was doing a series with Sally Field. I've done a sitcom along the way as well. I played Sally Field's husband in a show called The Girl with Something Extra. She could read my mind, which is a lot of husbands.
Yeah, mine can.
Have
yeah.
that problem. Yeah. This was just for a year, but it was in 73, 74. And so NBC said, well, he's in an NBC series. Let's put him on The Tonight Show. And I had a very good manager, Alan Bernard, who had a contact at The Tonight Show. It was kind of a backdoor thing. The interesting thing about sitting in for Carson is that you never get to put your own guests on. You are very much in Carson's seat. It says Johnny on the coffee cup. It says Johnny on the pencils that he plays with. It's his chair. You're very temporary. I have lots of stories about trying to get people on that they wouldn't take. And I got him on, and yeah, because Johnny wouldn't take him, you know, and so it was a temporary thing. But I think I got better at it. And then I took over from Mike Douglas in my daytime talk show for a while, and I think I sort of learned how to do that. I've done so many crazy things in this career, and now I'm investigating these sort of folk country troubadour kind of a thing that I'm going to do at the Lenox Library a week from tonight.
Yeah, a week from tonight.
Week from tonight.
Tonight is a Friday, so that would be a Friday night, right?
Friday night, August 8th, and you can find out more information by going to Lenox Lib, L-I-B, Lenox Lib? I don't know. It's LenoxLib.org for more information. You were predominant. I mean, you hosted many things, and this is back to that idea of sort of being the calm in the storm, of whether it be That's Incredible, which is a show I loved, and then of course Hollywood Squares, and you had your own show, and did you replace Mike Douglas?
Yeah, he was
doing that at a KYW in Philadelphia.
Westinghouse, right?
He left a Group W Westinghouse production, and he left, and then
they let him go. He was asking for more money, I guess. And they narrowed it down to
don't do it, Joe.
They were looking for a quote younger face, which I guess I was, or they were looking at Dick Clark as well. I was told it was between Dick Clark and me. I got the job. I wasn't ready for the job. I learned a lot on the job. And Mike Douglas, we had a split there. We were close, and he resented the fact, I think. It's a long story, but yeah, that was a tough thing starting out that way.
But you and not to get into this too much, but you you had a similar career with similar yes. career track as Mike Douglas. He was a singer. He was again a capable guy who would come in and talk to people in a very comfortable setting.
Yeah, the difference was that I started on Broadway. Graduate got Theater Arts and from Denison in Ohio, and went to New York in the mid-60s and got in a Broadway show. I played Bert Lahr's son, the Cowardly Lion Bert Lahr.
Yeah.
Played his son in a musical called Foxy. So I started on Broadway, and a producer who was discovering people for variety television, his name was Bob Banner, who had just brought Carol Burnett from Fade Out, Fade In, the Broadway show, and developed her as a variety host. He said, I'm going to develop you as a fat career, as a well-rounded career. You're not going to be a spear. You're going to be a pitchfork. It takes a lot to explain that, but Tony Bennett is a spear. Johnny Mathis is a spear. They do one thing. They kill with that one thing.
Right.
I've never done that. I've never made it. I've never done one thing that well, I guess. I'm a pitchfork. I'm a singer. I'm an actor. I do a game show. Sure, whatever you want. I do a Broadway show. I've done Shakespeare. I've done plays. I do women's luncheons. I perform in Las Vegas. I do bar mitzvahs.
A little magic here and there. Sure.
Right. Anything. And I've survived for 50 years. It's been an incredible career. And now I'm playing the Lenox Library.
What made you walk into the library that day? Is that really a true story?
Sure.
You just walked in.
Yes, I just walked in. Well, who are you? You're going to have your agent call. You know, I have several. I have agents on all the coasts.
Sure.
But I thought, you know, this is a face-to-face town. And met a wonderful lady named Sharon Hawks, the librarian. And I think she was aback.
Did she know who you were?
Yes. I mean, yeah.
Do you resent it when somebody doesn't know who you are?
No. I don't expect people to know me.
I do.
I'm older now. Well, because you're older. Anybody over 40 remembers me as a singer and a TV guy. But if you're under 40, there's no way. And I find that even people over 40, if I don't smile, I must have based a career on smiling because
wonderful teeth.
Thank you. They're not mine, but thank you. If I don't smile, nobody recognizes, and that's just fine. That's a great thing about Lenox. You know, there's a lot of people who were big once. What do you call it? Over the hill. There's a lot of people who have had great careers living in the Berkshires, and the great thing about the Berkshires is that you fit in with the trees and the grass, and you're just here. And it's a place full of people who have done great things. Full of people. You go to any restaurant and you'll find people who have done great things in Lenox and Great Barrington and all.
I have to ask you this just because I'm fascinated, because I've heard two or three different stories and a little bit of a conflict over it. So I'm curious as to your thoughts on this.
A conflict?
Well, in working with Bert Lahr, yes. I've heard him as a very complicated, difficult man. And I've also heard that he was the most genuine and sweet person to work with.
So nice to me, because I was just starting in the business. I also did the Fantastics with him. I did the only television version of the I played the boy. And El Gallo was Ricardo Montalban, this magnificent man. And my father was Bert Lahr in that. Bert Lahr was a worrier. Always wanted to make it funnier. Well, would it be better if I did this with my hand? Would it be? Always trying to make it better. And was so nice to me. He gave me some suggestions as to whether to say the line and turn or turn and say the line. A great technician. A very intense man. Not a happy man, I would say. His son wrote a great book about him, I think called The Cowardly Lion, wasn't it? I forget.
Yeah. But he goes down in history as The Cowardly Lion. There's a guy who will always be recognized by everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, probably. Mm. But I'm different. I mean, as far as me not being recognized.
I didn't say you.
Why did I bring that back to me right away? I don't know.
So you just, but then you just got off Broadway or running around the country playing The Wizard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and I hope they'll call me back. I had to leave it to do a one-night concert tour. I still do concerts I did a whole Midwestern tour of doing my show in performing arts centers. But I want to perform in a personal way to 100 people, not 1,000, and investigate some of these songs that I've written. I've written a lot. Wrote a song called 70 Sucks. wrote a song
how do you really feel, John?
Wrote a song called The Wall Street Blues. you know, getting burned on Wall Street. Wrote a song about the Red Hat ladies. You know, the Red
Hat. Oh, yeah, the Red Hat Club.
You must have me. Called Gramsci's Runnin' Wild, about a Red Hat lady that just goes crazy all over the world. And then I also sing some Denver, John Denver songs. I sing some Harry Chapin. I love story songs and people that songs that touch people.
I was watching a YouTube clip the other day of you on the Carson show.
Yes.
And this is okay, I know if
what
I
you're
tell this
say.
Okay if I tell this?
Yes.
All right, I can ask you about this. So you go on and you sing this song, and it's a very detailed story song.
Rudyard Kipling's If put to music.
Yes. And
if you can keep your head while all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you.
So about halfway through it, you kind of lose your way, because there's a lot to it.
Yes.
And then you stop, and then you say to the audience, all right, well, we're going to start this up again, because it's very important that you hear this. And
yes.
Then you go again.
Yes.
And it's 7 minutes of airtime.
I know.
And then...
And Carson was dying. Carson let it go. He was on the floor. He just thought it was... Because I was really lost.
And then you come back, you go to the couch, you sit down, and Johnny says to you, thank you for that lovely, very, very long song.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How people have to react to that?
I was embarrassed by it, but you know, you try to... I've got so many lyrics in my brain.
Sure.
And you just... I don't know. But moments like that, Are that's the gold, isn't it? To try to make it work and to try to get through.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, but you can't buy. I mean, that's up there with Ed Ames and the Tomahawk. I mean, that's just a great moment.
Not as great as that moment.
Well, that's okay. All right. But it's a good classic moment.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know anymore what is a classic and what isn't a classic. I don't know. You're a classic.
Yes, you are.
I think you're a classic.
And Alan's a classic too.
So, but you look back on that time. I'm trying to get a read on. I'm trying to get a read on you. If you are,
I'd like to get a read on me.
If you're proud of what you accomplished in your career, when you're doing that's incredible.
Mm.
When you're doing
Hollywood Squares,
you know, are you proud of that work?
Yes.
You talked about that over 40. I mean, for guys my age. I mean, that was what we grew up with. We love you.
Yeah, we started the reality television thing, you know.
Right.
Fran Tarkington.
And we'll forgive you for that, by the way.
And I can't be responsible for what it morphed into, but back then it was real people, and that's incredible. I'm proud of what I've done. I think of that as another person. I can't, if I'm walking down the street in Lenox, I can't be thinking about... Hi there. Hi, remember me? I used to be somebody. You can't do that. You've got to live your life. And I'm enjoying being sort of a nobody. And but I haven't stopped learning new songs.
But when you go on tour with Wicked, people know. I mean,
if you're over 40, kids don't. Remember, Wicked has an audience of 8-year-olds and 80.
Well, they do now. You're the Wizard.
Yeah. You do know that the Wizard is not the biggest thing in Wicked.
No, it comes on very late. And
oh, you sit in your dressing room and try to figure out, you know, what to do. It's a small part, just like it was in Wizard of Oz. They talk. I hear them talking about me on the thing. We're going to see the Wizard, and then they finally get to you, and it's a nice role. It's great. I hope they invite me back.
Well, and Joel Grey did it on
on
in the original company.
Yes, shorter version. Yes, he did. And there's been a lot of wizards. Ben Vereen has been a wizard. Yeah. Robert Klein. I felt lucky to be
Robert
able to do
Klein
it.
Robert Klein was a wizard?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. When I did it this last year, Clifton Davis, the wonderful actor from television, singer-actor, was Professor Dillamond. And he and I were almost the same age, so we would commiserate. Everybody in a tour like that is about 17, and then you have the wizard. So, but it's all about the witches. It's all about Elphaba and Glinda. I was proud to be a part of it. But I also like doing my live show. The freedom of collecting comedy material and collecting songs for my live show, I just love it.
Well,
That live show will be performed next Friday night, August 8th at 7 o'clock at the Lenox Library. John Davidson will provide music and laughter as he sings a selection of American folk, country, and pop favorites.
You've already said all this before.
I want to reestablish.
That's very nice. That's very nice.
I'm going to give it the due. I learned hosting from you.
And thank you for the Lenox Library, because it's a magnificent institution, and we really appreciate your doing it.
And this sort of support, you know, only 50% of their budget comes from cities and taxes. So they need this sort of support. And fortunately, the people of Lenox are so proud of their library, they'll show up even if I weren't there.
LenoxLIB.org for more information. John Davidson, a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Alan.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.